Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. This is Gary Neron welcoming you to the Lamp and Light broadcast, coming to you from the studios of Central Baptist Church in beautiful Ocala, Florida. Lamp and Light is a ministry, taking a book of the Bible verse by verse, teaching as it is to men as they are, without compromise or apology, speaking the truth in love, and our purpose is to give the lamp and light to all. Last week in our study of Hebrews chapter 1, we finished verses 1 through 3. Let's listen as Dr. Bloom continues our study of chapter 1. Now, here is our teacher and pastor, Dr. Andy Bloom.
Firm foundation for the Bible says.
This is your radio pastor, Dr. Andy Bloom, welcoming you to another Lamp and Light broadcast. Well, I hope you'll have your good King James Bible ready today as we go into Hebrews chapter 1, beginning with verse 4, and we're going to go right through verse 14 over these next several days. And I hope that you'll have pencil and paper, and you'll follow along, and you will take notes, because this is something that I really want you to have. Also, let me encourage you to go to our website. Our website is www.centralbaptistocala.org. That's CentralBaptistOcala.org. When you get there, you just scroll down to Ministries and click on Ministries, and you'll see Lamp and Light. You'll click onto the Lamp and Light, and you'll see there a little bit about our radio program, and then also, if you would like to donate. Now, let me say up front, we don't want you donating your tithe. Your tithe belongs to your local church. Don't send us your tithe. We will take an offering. That's anything above a tithe, but don't rob the local church. Don't rob the Lord's house in tithes and offerings. Whatever you give is reapplied right here to the radio ministry. It does not go into salaries. No salaries are paid for this radio ministry. It is all a act and work of faith. And Central Baptist Church has underwritten this radio ministry now for its entire existence, but it sure helps when people write us and give a little donation, and you'd like to donate online. You can do it. It's very safe and very secure. And so let me encourage you to check out our webpage. Also on our webpage, you'll see Sermon Library. Again, that's in the left-hand column. And you can go and see well over 1,000 sermons. Many are the radio programs that you've listened to. And then some are sermons that we've preached here in our church. As a matter of fact, you can click on, once you click on to sermons, you'll see four categories. One of those categories is popular. And you click on the popular, you'll see the ones that were downloaded the most. They'll have the number of times they were downloaded and several on prophecy that are there. If you like prophetic messages, I would encourage you to go there. So please come to our website and visit us. We would love to have you there. And then also, if you would like to email me with a Bible question, you can email me through the website. So let me encourage you that if you are able to go on the computer and have access to the internet, look us up at www.centralbaptistocala.org. Now, if you have your Bibles, we're going to take up today in verse 4 here of Hebrews chapter 1. Now, last time we saw, after the infallible person, verses 1 through 3, we are entering the inherently better one, verses 4 and 5. And we see right off the bat, he is a better person. Verse 4 says, being made so much better than the angels, as he hath by inheritance obtained a more excellent name than they. Well, he is much better than angels. Now, folks, don't get me wrong. Angels are important. They were used of God in many ways, as we see in the Old Testament. As a matter of fact, they were used in giving of the law and judgments in the Old Testament. One angel killed 185,000 of an army. Another killed 70,000 after David sinned by numbering the people. We saw where two angels struck the men of Sodom with blindness, as well as an Assyrian army detachment was struck with blindness. So angels are very powerful beings. Now, let me say this. I don't want to put angels down, but I don't want to lift them up to deity. I do not wear an angel pin on my lapel, nor does my wife wear one on her dress. Angels do not bring us good luck. We're not depending on angels for what we get in this life. As a matter of fact, angels are ministering spirits, and that's what they do. They minister in our behalf. But understand, when we get to heaven, we will judge angels. In other words, they will be under our authority. Now, we're told here that he is so much better. Now, that doesn't mean the angels are bad and he's good. It means those angels, these are not fallen angels, but good angels, that he's better than the good angels. The word better is defined as stronger and more powerful. It is a comparative word used in a good sense. It has the idea of more profitable, honorable. Now, as Christians, we do not hold to guardian angels. That's actually a Catholic doctrine. It's not a Bible doctrine. J. Vernon McGee makes several good points in regard to the idea of guardian angels. He says, "Are you a child of God? If so, you are indwelt by the Holy Spirit, who is the third person of the Godhead. Now, what could a guardian angel do for you that the Holy Spirit couldn't do for you?" Well, that's a very powerful argument. I'd much rather the Spirit of God do things for me than a guardian angel. The Bible does not give high and glorious titles to any individual without good reason and a good foundation. The accolade here in verse 4 is not merely a compliment. It's not a patronization of Jesus Christ. It's a statement of a glorious fact. I'm reminded of the book of Exodus in chapter 33. In chapter 32, Moses is on the mountain. He's receiving the Ten Commandments. He's got the tablets in his hands, and the Lord talks about the children of Israel sinning down in the camp. And of course, they had made the golden calf. And we remember the story as Moses walks down and he sees the children of Israel dancing and they're naked. And doesn't that go together? They drink, they take clothes off, and they dance. Those are three things that go together. And you know what? I don't ever see that that is praised in the Word of God. And they're doing it under the name of religion. As a matter of fact, the golden calf was made into the name of Jehovah. They're saying Jehovah used this calf to take us out of the land. Well, that's crazy. Where was that calf when they were getting ready to cross the Red Sea? We don't see one. But nonetheless, in the next chapter, God tells Moses he's so upset with these people that he's just going to send one of his angels to lead the children of Israel into the promised land. Moses lets God know in the 33rd chapter that if the presence of God does not go with him, then he's not going. He didn't want to go. And so at that point, God promised Moses that he would go instead of sending an angel. And I just point that out to tell you that even in the Old Testament, the presence of the Lord is much more important than the presence of angels. And as saved in this New Testament era, we have the very Holy Spirit of God dwelling within us. In Romans chapter 8, verse 9, we read this, "But ye are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if so be the Spirit of God dwell in you. Now, if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of his." Do you realize, if you're saved, you have the Holy Spirit. You cannot be saved and not have the Holy Spirit. Now, this is the clear teaching of the Word of God. I mean, it's not a Baptist doctrine, although Baptists believe this. This is a Bible doctrine. If you're saved, you have the very Spirit of God living within you. And if you don't have the Spirit of God within you, you're not saved. So we don't have to go to God through angels. We have the Holy Spirit who makes groanings for us, and the Lord Jesus Christ who intercedes for us. Now, why in the world would anyone want to replace them with an angel or with a group of angels? Now, understand, the name angel means messenger. As sometimes it is used in the Bible to refer to human people. For example, in Revelation chapters 2 and 3, it talks about the angel of the church at Ephesus, the angel of the church at Smyrna, and it goes on through naming the angel at each of these churches. And the angel is actually the pastor of those churches. Why? Because the word angel means messenger. And the pastor has a responsibility to bring God's message to the people of the local church. That is what he's charged with. That's why a pastor needs to be a man of the book. That's why he needs to preach this book. And that's why he needs to preach the right book. You know, isn't it interesting? We live in a day where about every month you have the new version of the month. Over 200 versions of the Bible in English. And it's not to give you greater understanding. Don't you think that we would have long before 200 had greater understanding if that was the situation? My folks, it's just that as old Barnum, P.T. Barnum said, there's a sucker born every 60 seconds. And if they're religious, boy, you can really get them. And so all they do is they come out with the new version of the Bible telling you how much better it'll make you as a Christian and how much more spiritual, and people buy it. No, you just stick with that King James Bible. Using these word studies that we're using as we go along, many times you'll miss that in these other versions. For example, Matthew 18:11. We think of Christmas time. And those with these other versions say, well, we don't ever remove anything from the Bible that has any importance, doctrinally speaking. Okay, well, Matthew 18:11, in many of these other versions, is not even there. It says the Son of Man has come to save that which was lost. Now, let me ask you something. Was it important that Jesus came to save that which was lost? If he has not come to save that which was lost, if that's not important, then why did he come? And so people say, well, it may not be in the best manuscripts. Listen, it is in the Textus Receptus. Matter of fact, as I study these books of the Bible, I'll read 10, 12 different authors, but I always have a Textus Receptus by me for the New Testament. And as I read, some authors will say, this is not in the best manuscripts, I'll just look. And if it is in there, then I can just write that off. That author doesn't know what he's talking about. This is your radio pastor, Pastor Andy Bloom, saying, may the Word of God be a lamp unto your feet and a light unto your pathway today.
We want to thank you for listening to the Lamp and Light broadcast. If you would like a CD copy of today's message by Dr. Bloom, send us your name, mailing address, and include the radio station by which you are listening and the date of the broadcast. We would appreciate a gift of $5 to Lamp and Light Broadcast, 1714 Southeast 36th Avenue, Ocala, Florida, 34471. You may also visit us on the website and freely download the sermons by clicking on the sermon library. That website is www.centralbaptistocala.org. Again, the address for the Lamp and Light broadcast is 1714 Southeast 36th Avenue, OCALA, Florida, 34471. And again, our website is www.centralbaptistocala.org. This is your announcer, Gary Neron, saying, may God's peace be with all that are in Christ Jesus.
Stand so the hills may tumble, it will firmly stand when the earth shall crumble. I will plant my feet on its firm foundation, for the Bible stands. I will plant my feet.